WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What is up, Tuscaloosa, and welcome to the student section. I am your host, Aiden McGuirt, joined as always by Nick Elliott. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. NFL free agency has opened up. A lot of moves happening right now with the NFL draft as well. The biggest news in terms of the draft, I guess, is the Panthers have traded up to the number one overall pick. I know this is old news, but we got to get it out there for you guys. So the Panthers have traded up and are now sitting at the number one overall selection. They are sending the number 9 overall pick, the number 61 overall pick, a first-round selection in next year's draft, a second-round pick in the 2025 draft, and star wide receiver DJ Moore to the Bears. So quite a haul for this first overall selection. Everybody expects them to select a quarterback. I guess when you're looking for a franchise quarterback to help you rebuild a team, bring in a new head coach, it's worth bringing those picks out and trading them away to get your quarterback of the future. So the Panthers will be selecting a quarterback with the number one overall position. Now, whether that's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or maybe an Anthony Richardson, maybe a Will Levis, that's remained to be seen. But for those of you who are looking to get a little more insight into that potential decision by the Panthers, their current quarterbacks coach, Josh McCown, has a YouTube channel where he broke down Bryce Young's film and C.J. Stroud's film. So I would encourage you guys, if you're interested in maybe getting a little closer insight onto how the coaching staff for the Panthers are looking at those two quarterbacks, go find those YouTube videos where Josh McCown, the quarterbacks coach for the Panthers, breaks down those two quarterbacks and their film. Now, Nick, you saw some news regarding another top prospect in the draft. Georgia's defensive tackle Jalen Carter had a pro day. Now, for background, right, Jalen Carter, a lot of trouble with the police right now, has been arrested. He's on a year's probation after racing. Obviously, the incident after Georgia won the national championship game where an offensive lineman and a recruiter on Georgia's staff were both killed in a tragic car accident. Obviously, our condolences to the families of those two who lost their loved ones. Jalen Carter was in another car racing those individuals in their car. Apparently, he lied to the police, and this is all according to reports. This is not what we know, but this is reporting, obviously, but it's allegedly he lied to the police about where he was. And so now he's on, I believe, a year's probation. So, but Nick, you saw he had a pro day. So tell us what you heard from his pro day.
Pro day, yeah. I think he gained 9 or 10 pounds at his pro day. Did not look as quick. I don't think it will affect him as much because, again, the film, I mean, Jordan Davis had a big year. He was similar. He did pretty much the same stuff. I think he would still be picked in the top 5, maybe top 7. It just depends where teams are drafting. I mean, the Bears move was huge because that will take off another team needing a quarterback in the first pick moving back. So, I mean, most likely the team that will be drafting a defensive player will be the Cardinals at 3. So, I guess we'll see what – I guess time will tell on Jalen Carter's future, but he will still be getting quite the good contract with an NFL team.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a top prospect. Obviously, he'll be drafted high, but I think maybe not quite as high as some people had thought. You know, there was a belief that it was him and Will Anderson Jr. competing for that third overall selection with the Cardinals, but yeah. Now I think it's pretty safe to say with the poor performance he had at his pro day and all of his off-field questions, it's likely that Will Anderson will probably be the first defensive player taken in this year's draft.
Yeah.
All right, on the opposite end of the spectrum, a player that's been around for a long time, Aaron Rodgers, doing what he usually does, making some off-season noise about whether or not he wants to play. Well, according to Aaron Rodgers himself, via the Pat McAfee Show. He is going to come back and play football, but not for the Green Bay Packers. He wants to play for the New York Jets. Now, this has been speculated for weeks and weeks, pretty much ever since the season ended, and we saw what's happened with Zach Wilson in New York. There's been a lot of buzz about Aaron Rodgers headed to New York. Then Nathaniel Hackett is hired as the offensive coordinator, used to be Aaron Rodgers' coordinator. We saw Alan Lazard picked up by the Jets in free agency. And again, you know, we're about to hit free agency, but another guy that Aaron Rodgers is very comfortable with. And now we are hearing that he is headed to New York. So, I mean, Nick, do you think that this move makes New York a viable contender for the playoffs?
I mean, you got an MVP. I mean, yeah, I think it will be viable for the playoffs, but you're still playing in, I mean, you're still playing in the AFC. You're still going to have to go through Josh Allen, who's owned that division for the past couple of years. You still have to go through a healthy Tua. If he stays healthy, that's another. I mean, you still have to go through the Patriots. I mean, that's the Patriots. I mean, you still have to go through Bill Belichick. I mean, he's won all those Super Bowls. It'll be tough. I mean, I think NFC is probably an easier path to the playoffs, but I still think the Jets were close to the playoff. I mean, they were winning games. They had really good young core with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. So I think with them, I think the defense, I think they will be a playoff team with Aaron Rodgers. It just depends on the health of him moving forward and his targets around him he's throwing to.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you look at this, the Jets had a top five defense last year. They ended up with the Defensive Rookie of the Year and the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And quite frankly, if Breece Hall hadn't been hurt, he might have been the Offensive Rookie of the Year. So potentially the two most promising offensive rookies there at the running back position and the wide receiver position. They signed Alan Lazard. They have Elijah Moore in the slot. You like what you have in the skill position.
And didn't they sign Lazard, too?
They did, yeah.
So they got a nice little group going. I mean, the offensive line was kind of iffy for them. They'll have to fix that. But Rodgers is going to have targets to throw to. He's going to be – I mean, the team – the fans are definitely going to be back in MetLife for that team. I mean, both teams in MetLife Stadium are making good moves for their franchise.
Yeah. A lot of stuff that's happening in New York.
This is more of one of the craziest free agencies in a while.
It has been. But hey, that's good enough. That's good for us because we get to sit here and talk about all of the craziness that has happened in free agency, which is a great segue into what we're talking about today. Free agency started last week.
Yep.
And there have been tons of moves already. And we're going to kind of talk about some of the moves that we like the best, what those could mean for certain teams, our teams getting better, our teams getting worse. And I guess we can keep it in the AFC North with the Dolphins.
Yep.
Right? First thing, they pick up the fifth-year option for Tua. So it looks like the Dolphins are committing to Tua as their quarterback moving forward. So he does have that fifth-year option. He's going into his fourth year with the Miami Dolphins. But he has now got a little bit more cushion on him, not just playing for that one-year contract. And I got to say, it seems like the Dolphins could really push to win this division this year, right? The Bills, obviously, Josh Allen's a great quarterback. They've been fantastic for a long time. They lose their defensive coordinator this offseason, though, Leslie Frazier. And, the Dolphins add one of the best defensive coordinators in football with Vic Fangio, who's now taking over as their DC. And he's got some help. So we're kind of break down person to person here. Give you some of my top picks in free agency and in keeping it with the Dolphins. Jalen Ramsey is being traded from the Rams to the Dolphins for a third round pick and tight end Hunter Long. which is a steal, I think, for the Dolphins. That's one of the best trades I've seen this offseason. Ramsey is a top five corner in the NFL. Yep. Hunter Long is a guy that I think is a second-year player.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much touches, so he's headed to the Rams, and a third-round pick is headed to the Rams for Jalen Ramsey.
Who the Dolphins picked up as tight end? Because I know they lost Gesicki. He stayed in the division and went to the Patriots.
I've not seen any moves by the Dolphins yet at tight end. I think that that's coming. It may be in the draft.
Yep.
Now, they do have a guy on roster. And now you got me thinking. There's a guy on roster for the Dolphins.
I know who you're talking about. I forgot his name.
Yeah. That has been a pretty decent player for them.
Yeah.
But I can't exactly remember his name. But he's done well.
Yeah. So I guess he'll be... Dolphins have so many... I really like the trade... Especially the Dolphins, I mean, they were getting torched. Their secondary was getting torched all year. They're one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. And bringing in a defensive player of the year, a guy who will win. He's already won a Super Bowl. And, I mean, the Rams, I mean, they're in rebuild mode right now. They're not really in contention. So it's really just a win-win. I mean, to get some draft capital, I mean, not much, but third-round pick, still something you can use on somebody. And I mean, they don't have to carry that contract for Ramsey, and they can just move on from that. But really like it for the Dolphins. They're right back to contending, and they still have great offense, and then great defensive coordinator. And so I really like what the Dolphins did for this move.
Yeah, and those the tight ends I'm thinking of, Durham Smythe.
Yeah, that's him.
And Adam Shaheen. Who are two guys that played.
Smythe, I remember that name, so he'll probably take a bigger role.
Yeah, I would expect the Dolphins to target some tight end.
Yeah, I forgot that they don't have their first-round pick. If they did, they could have been drafting Darnell Washington.
They could, yeah, they could. Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, Luke Musgraves out of Oregon State. There's a lot of really good tight ends in this in this particular draft class, which I think is why the Dolphins felt comfortable letting Hunter Long go and Mike Gesicki, who, as you mentioned, is headed to the Patriots. That's another really, really good pickup for the Patriots, who also added Juju Smith-Schuster this offseason, just trying to continue to add weapons around Mac Jones after they brought in Bill O'Brien as a full-time offensive coordinator.
What did you think about, I know Frank Clark got released by the Chiefs. I mean, what do you think the Chiefs, do you think they're going to go another, I think they could, do you think they'll trade for DeAndre Hopkins?
You know, I don't see the Chiefs trading for DeAndre Hopkins. With the guys that they have on roster already, Mecole Hardman is a free agent, I know. Juju Smith-Schuster's gone, but you've got Sky Moore.
Yeah.
You can potentially bring back Kadarius Toney. You have the best receiving tight end in the NFL with Travis Kelce. And, you know, Andy Reid and the Chiefs have shown that they don't really need superstar wide receivers to get the job done. They're just that good everywhere else on the offense. So I think they'll probably look in the draft later rounds, probably pick up some guys. They may be in the Odell Beckham sweepstakes, but with Tyreek Hill and sort of his diva, I want to be wide receiver one and get all the targets. I just don't think that's the Chiefs' kind of
mantra
vibe. They don't like a dude who's trying to get the majority targets all the time, who's the big name wide receiver. They want dudes that are versatile, that can do it all, but aren't, you know, trying to constantly be ball hogs like these Odell Beckham Jr.'s, Tyreek Hill's, guys like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to go DeAndre Hopkins, but I do think they're going to try and pick up some other pieces.
If we can stick in the same division, do you have any thoughts on Jimmy G to the Raiders? I mean, I think it'll be a solid move. I mean, I think they're still going to draft a quarterback in this draft because they've got a top 7 pick, I think they need to get a quarterback. Because Jimmy G, you already know how he'll play most of the year, and he'll pick up an injury here and there. And I think Stidham signed somewhere else, right?
Jared Stidham signed with the Broncos.
Yep, okay. I really think they're going to sign a draft a quarterback and let him sit behind Jimmy G for the year. And
yeah,
I think the Raiders are still an interesting team because they pick up O.J. Howard today, which is a great signing.
Yep.
And then lose Darren Waller, and they still have Josh Jacobs and Hunter Renfro. I mean, they still got a really good offense. It's just what the defense does. The defense is the biggest. I mean, you're in one of the best quarterback divisions in the NFL, so it really just depends. I mean, how big of a leash do you think Josh McDaniels has in year two?
Oh, I think he has plenty of a leash. I mean, it was a terrible first year, and the owner there, I forget his name. I used to know it off the top of my head, but when you look at the situation, they brought in Josh McDaniels, and after one season, they're sending away the quarterback that stuck with them through thick and thin and through the terrible John Gruden situation and the Henry Ruggs situation. Derek Carr has been the guy that all the people lean on, and they shipped him off because of Josh McDaniels. And Josh McDaniels' offense, it wasn't clicking with Derek Carr. And like you mentioned, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, you have some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL in that division, and you also have some of the best offensive coaches coaching those dudes up. Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes, you got Kellen Moore now, who's coming over from the Cowboys, being the offensive coordinator in the Chargers with Justin Herbert, and Sean Payton, who outside of Andy Reid is the second, I guess he's the second best offensive mind in the NFL, is working with Russell Wilson, who's made it to two different Super Bowls. So they needed a guy that could come in. To me, this is not an upgrade over Derek Carr. I don't think it's really a downgrade. I think it's just safety, right? When you look at the contract details, it feels like the Raiders can kind of cut ties with Jimmy G after 2 years. They're sitting, I believe, at the number 7 overall draft selection. So if they're sitting there and a Will Levis were to fall to number 7, then you can draft a guy like that, let him sit behind Jimmy G for a couple years. You're familiar with Jimmy Garoppolo. Josh McDaniels was his offensive coordinator in New England, so he knows the offense that McDaniels wants to run. They do sign O.J. Howard today because Darren Waller was traded from the Raiders to the Giants to help out Daniel Jones there in New York as a pass-catching option for him. They pick up Jacoby Myers, who's been with the Patriots. So that's a really, really good wide receiver 3. Great slot receiver with Hunter Renfro, and obviously one of the best receivers in the NFL with Davante Adams. All right, stick with us through the break. We have a lot more to talk about in NFL free agency.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, Tuscaloosa, to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden McGuirk, joined by Nick Elliott. We are talking about NFL free agency. We left off on the Raiders. They're bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback. Obviously, we've talked about their addition of Jacoby Myers at the wide receiving core. They placed the franchise tag on Josh Jacobs. So plenty of good pieces around Jimmy G. Signed O.J. Howard at the tight end position. So they've got a tight end that is certainly capable. Bama fans, you're very familiar with what O.J. Howard can do, being that he is a former Alabama player.
Super Bowl winner.
Yep. Super Bowl winner with the Bucs 2 years ago, which is a good segue here to what I think is my top signing of free agency, at least from the team standpoint, right?
Yep.
Maybe not from the player's standpoint, because this dude is really not getting paid a lot of money to do what he's going to do. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are signing Baker Mayfield to a one-year contract with a base salary of only $4 million, which is practically nothing. I mean, there's a lot of backups that get paid $7, $8 million guaranteed. So he's getting paid practically nothing. Now, there are incentives to which can bring up his salary all the way to $8.5 million. But those incentives, we don't know what those could be. It could be something as easy as, hey, you know, make 10 completions in all the games that you start, or something as difficult as winning the Super Bowl, right? So don't really know the exact details of that contract at the moment, but that is, I think, one of the top signings of free agency from a team standpoint. The Buccaneers had one quarterback on their roster after Tom Brady retired, and I believe Blaine Gabbert is a free agent now. I'm not entirely sure if he's still with the Bucs, but I do know that former second round pick and Florida quarterback Kyle Trask is on roster. And we've heard people talk about Kyle Trask and a lot of these guys around Tampa like him and think that he could be the starter. But you bring in Baker Mayfield on a pretty inexpensive contract, so you have an experienced starter in the NFL who has played well in the past, right? He played well in 2021, played really well in 2019, played pretty well for the Rams at times this past season. So he's capable of leading this team. Hopefully he can reach those incentives, because being a starting quarterback in the NFL for only $4 million just seems a little unfair. Another excellent trade that happened during this free agency period. So not necessarily a free agent signing, but, you know, a trade that's happening here nevertheless. The Cowboys, they're sending a fifth round pick to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for cornerback Stephon Gilmore. Now, Gilmore has been in the past one of the best, if not the best, corners in the NFL. The Cowboys have former Alabama player Trayvon Diggs. So they have their CB1, but they have not had anybody beside Trayvon in terms of CB2. It's been pretty disappointing. So now they bring in a veteran guy who at one point in his career was considered the best corner in the NFL to help shore up this secondary for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, this, I think the Cowboys are going to be pretty good this year. I also saw that they're bringing in Brandon Cooks, wide receiver from the Houston Texans. So you help out Michael Gallup and you help out CeeDee Lamb. You know, got a more explosive receiver, a guy that can really help you out from that standpoint. Now the question is, are the Cowboys still in the running for Odell Beckham Jr.?
I mean, they signed Brandon Cooks, so I don't know. Odell, I mean, I don't know where he's going to go yet. I think he'll sign somewhere like late in May, maybe after the draft or something. I don't really see him making a move anytime soon. He's still enjoying his Super Bowl and recovering. I mean, I don't know where he's going to sign. Maybe he could still end up with the Cowboys. I think that's definitely still on the table, but I guess we'll see. Maybe a return to the Giants, because the Giants still need receivers.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I've seen some Twitter exchanges between him and Saquon Barkley, right? Saquon, yeah. Barkley commented on Odell Beckham Jr.'s private workout, pretty much saying that Odell is still a great player. And Odell retweeted that with the caption, you know, hey, let Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, know that I still have a lot to prove. So perhaps Odell goes back to New York. I think the question there is, you know, with the drama that happened with the owners of the Giants way back when Odell was on the Giants, would they still be able to work that stuff out and bring him along?
And I just saw that Cam Newton will be throwing at Auburn's Pro Day.
Cam Newton?
Yeah, Cam Newton.
Well,
so I guess he's trying to get back in somewhere at the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see about
that. We'll see how that works.
I don't think Cam Newton is
going to be. I think he's just going to enjoy his MVP and just.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, the problem with Cam Newton is he's not good enough to start anywhere, and his personality is too big to be a backup. He's too arrogant to be a backup anywhere.
And he's just older. He does not have the same ability. I mean, he's going to – I think, again, when he was at his best with the Carolina Panthers, he was like Anthony Richardson now with putting up insane numbers. I mean, not insane numbers, but insane, like, he could do it all running. He was really good running. His throwing was good in the MVP year, but he just doesn't have the running ability now because he's much older. So it's going to be hard for him to get back in because his passing was not as elite as his running.
Yeah, I don't see Cam Newton signing anywhere unless there's a team later on down the line that needs a quarterback.
There's always a team that needs a quarterback at some point.
Yeah, so we'll see how that situation plays out.
Just a funny development.
Yeah.
There's a lot of quarterbacks who stick around too long. Blaine Gabbert still being on a team is still kind of funny.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I guess if you're a backup like Blaine and you don't actually play all that often, it's a pretty sweet deal. You just get to...
Just like with when Josh McCown was... Now he's a coach, but now he... When he was a quarterback, he was just everywhere, and he was just getting checks on checks.
Yeah. I mean, I think the backup quarterback job is the sweetest gig in the NFL because you essentially just sit on the bench, and you don't get hurt. You get paid a lot of money. Not as much as a starter. But, I mean, you're still getting paid a lot more than most Americans.
A.J. McCarron missed the field too much.
Yeah.
He loved the gig too much, but he wanted to play.
Yeah. Obviously, A.J. McCarron is playing in the XFL for, I think, $60,000 or something. Is something measly
something.
Compared to what he would have gotten as a backup. But he wanted to play for his kids. His kids wanted to see him be the starting quarterback for a team. So he decided to sign with the XFL instead of going to the NFL because he couldn't
start.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Maybe,
very happy
for
him.
Maybe Cam Newton can do that with the USFL.
Maybe so. I mean, the USFL to me seems like the better league to join versus the XFL. That's a whole different conversation.
Just because the timing of when the league's happening, it's happening in the summer when there's nothing else on. I mean, XFL right now is taking place in a bit of everything, when everything's going on in the sports world, like playoffs and March Madness.
Hey, shout out to the Alabama men's basketball team headed to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
Very excited. They're going to play the San Diego State Aztecs.
Yep.
So hopefully we can continue to see some excitement from the men's basketball team and maybe bring home a national championship. We've already got the SEC regular season championship, SEC tournament championship. Let's just add a natty that. That'd just be
banner.
A full sweep of the season, win all of the championships that you could have won. That would be amazing. All right, so for me, my last top free agent signing is by the Texans, where they signed tight end Dalton Schultz to a one-year, $9 million deal. So they're not paying him a ton of money. They're only bringing him in for 1 year, but he is going to be a safety blanket for the quarterback that they end up drafting with the number two overall selection. When you are a quarterback, especially a young quarterback, the tight end is your best friend because they're often closer to you in terms of where they are in their routes.
They're always in the soft spot of the zone.
They're in the soft zone. So this is a great pickup by the Texans. Very, very pleased with them. Very excited for D'Amico Ryans to get that job. Hopefully he can continue to have a tremendous amount of success. Great defensive coordinator at San Francisco. Former Alabama linebacker, right? All-American guy. So he's getting his first shot as a head coach in the Texans. They're already making good moves. They also just signed running back Devin Singletary, who was the running back for the Bills last season. So how he's headed to the Texans on top of, what is his name, Pierce, right? Who was the rookie running back for the Texans last season, if I'm remembering correctly. I think that's what his name was, from Florida. So, very good pickup for the Texans. Got a lot more to talk about in terms of free agency, so be sure to stick with us when we return from the break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, Tuscaloosa, welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Adam McGuirt, joined by Nick Elliott. We are talking about NFL free agency. So I've kind of given you my top signings, top trades that have happened so far in the NFL. We talked about some of the movement that's happened at the quarterback position. So, all right, Nick, I want you to give me some of your top moves here in free agency.
I really liked what the Saints did in signing Jamal Williams because of uncertainty with Alvin Kamara's court case, which is going to be, I think, going on in the summertime, so you won't really know an answer of that, and he'll probably will be suspended for like 6 or 7 games, I guess, at the worst, if I had to guess. So Jamal Williams coming off one of his best seasons with the Lions last year, and he's just an energetic guy, a guy that you want on your team. Especially, I guess, a lot of people remember from I forgot the show that's on HBO that they do for the NFL, but he was on there.
Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks, yep. And he was getting everybody hyped up how they don't want to be a disgrace to the league again. So, I mean, they were one game away from the playoffs. So, just a locker room guy will bring great in the running back room and a team. He won't be like an Alvin Kamara with a catching. He's more of a like a boom type back. He wants to go through the tackles and stuff. That's what Kamara is not very good at, and Mark Ingram is getting old, so I think it's a good signing for that. And then another signing I really liked was the Giants trade for Darren Waller, because the Giants need weapons for Daniel Jones, who they just signed to a big deal and franchise tagged Saquon Barkley. So I really liked the move. I mean, I'm not sure Darren Waller's new wife liked the move because she plays for the Las Vegas Aces. So I guess they're going to be across the country from each other during the season. So, but I really liked the Darren Waller move. That was probably one of my favorites because he's when healthy, he's one of the top three tight ends in the league at pass catching. And he did not have one of his best years, but he was hurt last year. So I think he's going to be used a lot because the Giants, I mean, I still think they need to go get another weapon. I mean, Odell Beckham is still on the table. I think they can sign him. They got rid of Kenny Galladay, so that's a big-time win for them.
Yeah.
And I still think they're going to draft somebody.
Open up a little cap space by letting Kenny Galladay go. I did see they re-signed Sterling Shepard, and I think they're bringing in, Paris Campbell, right, who was with the Colts. So they got some dudes there.
They could still use one more guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
They need enough weapons.
They need a true number one.
And then I really liked what the Patriots did with the Juju Smith-Schuster and the Gesicki deals. That just adds because they were missing weapons, and they got rid of Jonnu Smith. Hunter Henry's still there, so they still have Hunter Henry. Now they have Mike Gesicki, who's one of the best red zone threats in the league. He had a ton of touchdowns for Miami. He was never like a big play guy, but he would always catch touchdowns from Tua. So I'm really interesting to see how Bill O'Brien puts him in the offense in the mix. And I think the Lions got another good deal with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I mean, he wanted much more money. He's going to have to basically another prove-it deal. I'm pretty sure last year he led the league in interceptions. So if he's going to get the money that he wants, that he said he's been disrespected of, that's why he asked for the trade from the Saints. So I think he's going to have a big year to get one of those deals that he was looking for. And then I think a winner as a whole for a team-wise right now, I'd say the Bears and the Panthers, like, together. So Bears were able to get DJ Moore, were able to get draft capital. They were able to sign some defensive players, sign some more receivers, and just a little bit of everything because you had the most cap space in the league, so you might as well make all the moves you can.
Yep.
And with a team that was the worst team in the league, you can only go up from where you are. So I really liked what the Bears did, and I really loved what the Panthers did because they were able to sign Andy Dalton, who is a serviceable quarterback for whoever it's going to be. I don't think he'll be the starting quarterback, so I think that'll be the rookie, because why trade up all this capital if you're not going to draft a good quarterback? So I think if I had to guess right now, I think they're leaning C.J. Stroud, if I had to guess. I don't know. I just don't see Bryce in a Carolina like blue and white. I really see him as a Texan. I don't know.
Well, we shall see.
But I really liked with Adam Thielen and they were able to get Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders will be a big time because I know they lost Deontay Foreman, and Chuba Hubbard had a pretty solid year. So I think Miles Sanders is going to be getting a lot more carries because he had to split a lot of carries with the Eagles running backs. But I really like what they did there. And they were able to re-sign like Bradley Bozeman. They got Hayden Hurst, who was actually a pretty solid tight end. So they're contending. I mean, I think if they get if their quarterback works out, I think they can easily win the NFC South. I think the NFC South is the most open division right now because Derek Carr signed with the Saints. I mean, Falcons made – I mean, they got Taylor Heineke. I thought that was a pretty cool move.
Yeah. But
just interesting to see what a lot of the teams are doing. Just a crazy time, especially with the draft coming up.
Absolutely. The Panthers are going to be pretty good, I think. You know, Frank Reich's got some really interesting, complex, dynamic running schematics for his offense, and you put Miles Sanders in that offense, right?
Yes.
Hayden Hurst at the tight end position is going to be, again, a safety blanket guy for whoever they draft at that number one overall position. You know, they bring in Adam Thielen. Mm-hmm. They've got Laviska Shenault. They've got Terrence Marshall Jr. I have seen that they are pretty aggressively pursuing DJ Chark, who was, you know, a big-time deep threat player. He was a Pro Bowler in 2019 for the Jaguars. Was on the Lions last year. He's like a 6'4 guy, runs a 4.3. Super big, you know, deep threat. So they're able to sign him, I think you're looking at them as a very, very viable contender to win that division. Like you said, it is wide open. And Andy Dalton, uber professional, he'll be able to mentor whoever they sign at that quarterback position.
They were able to sign, I mean, seem like a ton of Saints players were moving to Panthers and the Falcons. They signed Von Bell, who was from the Bengals, but he played for the Saints. And I thought they had a pretty solid defense, and then I think they improved with the signings they made. And I really, because they have what's his name, Horn. What's his first name?
What's it? J.C. Horn.
J.C. Horn. Yeah, they signed him. I knew he was hurt, but they have him. They have Jeremy Chinn. They have Derek Brown. They got a lot of good, solid pieces on defense. And this quarterback, whoever they draft, whether that's Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, if they work out, man, that is a team. I mean, again, Adam Thielen said this is a team that can win the Super Bowl. I mean, maybe they can. I mean, if you win the NFC South, you got a home playoff game, so you're going to be set to make a run in the playoffs. I mean, you're going to see a team, who knows what the record of the winning NFC South team, whether that's 11 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins, maybe. It's just, that'll be a very interesting in a team. I guess the Falcons, I mean, are they sticking with Desmond Ridder? I mean,
I don't
think
know.
They draft the quarterback. I guess Taylor Heineke. I mean, I think Taylor Heineke is probably going to be the starter, if I had to guess.
See, to me, with the signing of Taylor Heineke, I think that kind of lets me know they're sticking with Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
Because Taylor Heineke is a bridge quarterback at best. He's not a high-end starter. He's not even really a mid-tier starter. He's like very bottom of the starters to just the highest quality backup. So I think he's an older guy with more experience, so he can come in and help Desmond Ridder out. But I think that, you know, probably stick with Desmond as their starter and let him develop.
Yeah, if Desmond Ridder doesn't work out and they don't have a good year, they could be in the running for Caleb Williams next year.
Exactly.
And I didn't really think, I wasn't really blown away by Desmond Ridder in the action, but they didn't really give him the chance to throw the ball because they were a really run-heavy team. So I guess we'll have to see what happens with the Falcons this year, because they made a ton of solid signings. I know they had Jesse Bates from the Bengals. That's a good signing. They made some really nice signings for the defensive, for their defense, because I knew that was one of the spots they struggled in was on defense, because they still got weapons on offense.
Traded for Jonnu Smith, the tight end, for a seventh round pick.
Jonnu Smith really made his name known when he was with the Titans, and when I was with
Arthur Smith.
So maybe he'll have another big year.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, Arthur Smith is the guy that kind of unlocked Jonnu Smith, and Arthur Smith's offense really works with what Jonnu does. And they have Kyle Pitts, obviously, so maybe he can be more of like a full-time wide receiver. And you have Jonnu Smith playing in the tight end position, run some 12 personnel, have them both out there on the field at the same time. So it'll be interesting to watch that division. And the Saints also signing Derek Carr, right? Derek Carr is headed to the Saints to be their starting quarterback. Like you, I think you before the show, you mentioned Michael Thomas has restructured his contract.
Restructured his deal. Yeah, and I think if Michael Thomas is healthy, he's proved it. He's had one of the best years of wide receiver in the league for a while. I mean, health is your biggest availability is your health, and he has not had that the past 2 or 3 years, and that is one thing the Saints will need. I mean, Chris Olave, you have Michael Thomas, you have some speed, you have speed threats. I mean, you re-signed Juwan Johnson, who is a really, really good red zone threat. You still have Taysom Hill, who one of the best gadget players in the league. And I really like the Saints, what they did at defense. They had to replace a couple of the defensive linemen. They were able to restructure, like, Cam. They restructured him as everybody had a contract on the team, basically had their deal restructured so the Saints could get above the cap space, which happens every single year for those around the NFL who do not know, who wonder why the Saints are always minus $30 million in the cap or minus $60 million and somehow end up at the top. Mickey Loomis does this every year as a GM, and it's funny to watch because everybody goes, the Saints are in trouble, and then 2 months later, they're back up at the cap space.
Yeah, Mickey Loomis, I think, is probably the best in the NFL at finagling cap space.
I mean, it's kind of funny how players will get deals more incentive-based just so they don't go against the cap at all. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah. It's great. He does a fantastic job with the cap stuff. That'll be probably my most intriguing division to watch, either that or the AFC West.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with Sean Payton headed to the Broncos and
Kellen Moore,
it'll be very interesting to see how that works out as well.
Yeah, I'm interested in the AFC North because with Aaron Rodgers most likely coming into the Jets, that'll make the Patriots, Mac Jones is really going to have to step his game up. He did not have... They're going to have to – that was one of the things they struggled with is protecting Mac Jones, and he didn't have anybody to throw to. So now he'll have weapons, and hopefully the O-line will step up for him to be able to succeed. And he'll have a guy he's familiar with, Bill O'Brien, who's coming from Alabama.
Who's an actual offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, he's not named Matt Patricia.
Not a defensive coordinator calling offensive plays. Bill Belichick, come on, man. So, I think that's going to be one of the toughest divisions because when you look at the Bills, obviously they're one of the best teams in the NFL. The Jets with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets have a lot of potential right now, right? But Aaron Rodgers is finicky. He's a diva.
Yep.
A lot of their players are super young. And then the Dolphins are kind of, you know, a really, really, really good team as well. I mean, they're bringing in great defensive pieces. They probably have the best corner duo in the NFL with X-Man and Jalen Ramsey across from each other.
I think, I don't know. I think the Jets could end up how the Broncos were last year. The Broncos were getting so much hype, and then they just...
Yeah.
But I think Robert Saleh is a much better coach than Nathaniel Hackett was, so...
Well, Nathaniel Hackett's going to be coaching the offense.
Yeah, that's kind of
so
funny.
We'll see
it's
how
all
that
ironic
works.
How he comes back into play.
Yep. Plus, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is quite...
As
broken as Russell Wilson was, you know.
Might just have to go. Maybe Russell Wilson will have to take a trip into the darkness as Aaron Rodgers took.
Maybe.
Where Aaron Rodgers was going to retire and then went into the darkness for 5 days, and who knows what kind of meditating he did with candles or whatever in the darkness.
When he was on the Pat McAfee show, he said it was like, what, he was 90% sure he wanted to retire, 10% thinking about coming back, and he comes out of the retreat ready to come back and play, and he ends up deciding he wants to leave the Giants, or not the Giants, excuse me, the Packers, and go play for the Jets.
That was one of the most funniest, interviews, because there's so many people, the YouTube live stream had, 500,000 people watching it. Everybody wanted to know what Aaron Rodgers was doing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good way to promote the Pat McAfee show, which is a funny, funny show.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, hopefully this comes in, this finishes soon. I hope for all Packers fans' sake, for all Jets fans' sake, this needs to end soon. And hopefully they can come to a deal at some point. I know Aaron Rodgers' contract is quite the number.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know what type of return the Jets are going to get. What, like a third or fourth round? I mean, the not Jets, but the Packers are going to get. I mean, what kind of, how does the draft compensation work with all that? Because you have to finagle with so much cash.
No idea. And I think that's been the holdup so far and why no official deal has been done. The compensation for the Packers has been the question and has been the problem kind of as of right now. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll make it work out. I think the Packers want Aaron gone because they want a guy who's going to be more stable moving forward. Yeah. And the Jets really want Aaron Rodgers because they feel like they're on the cusp of being one of the better teams in the NFL and with an elite talent like Rodgers.
Another, before we end the show, I mean, another division that'll be interesting is with the NFC North with Packers with Jordan Love. Who is the front seat? Who would you say is the front seat in that division?
The Vikings.
Vikings?
Vikings, easy. Yeah. I mean, they won the division last season. And I think that they're going to be even better now that they've got Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator. So, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions snuck in there, too. Who is the other team in that? Oh, the Bears. Yeah, the Bears are going to be bad again.
Yeah. But I'm happy the Bears stayed committed to Justin Fields.
Yep.
Stayed committed to their guy. They did not keep him on a leash, keep him waiting. I mean, that was a big thing right there.
Yeah. So before we end the show here, Alabama football is back officially. First practice of the spring happened today, and Nick Saban held his press conference. You can find it on YouTube with Touchdown Alabama YouTube channel. Nick Saban talked about the competition and the quarterbacks and says it's pretty much wide open, which you would expect. All the guys are going to get the opportunity to play. One of the biggest questions for me going into the spring was what was going to happen with the safeties, right? You lose Charles Kelly, who was coaching the safeties as the position coach. He goes to be the defensive coordinator at Colorado with Deion Sanders. And we found out today that Trevarius Robinson, who was the cornerbacks coach last season, is going to continue to coach corners, but he will also be coaching safety. So he is now coaching the entire secondary. And Kevin Steele, who is the defensive coordinator, new this season, and Nick Saban are going to kind of be the guys walking around, helping all the different positions out, helping each of the different position coaches out. But I wouldn't be shocked if you turn on the B-roll from spring practice over the next several weeks and you see Nick Saban working most of the time with the safeties in a sort of quasi grad assistant slash head coach coaching the safeties kind of role. But very excited to see what they do there. Super early in the spring. Obviously, today was the first practice. No idea what's going to happen. They did mention Tony Mitchell, who is a freshman early enrollee safety who was caught in possession of a substantial quantity of marijuana. He is currently suspended from the team, according to Nick Saban, and will remain suspended from the team and all team activities until more information is released to the university about Tony Mitchell's situation. But that is the status of Tony Mitchell. So be sure to tune in next week because we are going to have probably a lot more updates about spring football as the team continues to practice and we continue to learn more about the status of different players along the roster. Very excited to have Alabama football back. And hey, continue to root for the Alabama men's basketball team. They're doing great things in the NCAA tournament right now, and we are only a couple games away from making it to the Final Four, so hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we can make it there with Nate Oates. So thanks so much for tuning in to the student section, and we will see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.